We're going to continue talking about prayer this morning and continuing a little bit about praying according to God's will. So if you want to call this a part two or not, I don't know. But I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll get to this verse a little bit more later on in this series. But in Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this day that you have given to us. And Lord, I thank you all for all of these individuals that are here this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for this time and opportunity to worship you, for understanding what you have for us in your word, for understanding prayer, and for understanding your will. And Lord, I pray that our minds would remember what we have already learned, that, Lord, we'd understand why it is that we pray, that we would understand there are things, Lord, that hinder our prayer life. But again, Lord, how it is that we are to pray according to your will. And Lord, I thank you for your shed blood that even allows us to boldly approach the throne. That, Lord, we can come, we can make petitions of you, but above all, Lord, it is your will that we seek your mercy and grace in our life. And I pray, Lord, that we would just do that this morning with humbleness of mind and heart, desiring, Lord, to be instructed of you, to revere you for who you are, to love your character and in your heart towards us, Lord, your thoughts, and everything that you have ever done for us. Lord, maybe we'd be prayerfully thankful and praise you for all of it. And I thank you again for this time, may it be honoring unto you. I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This verse is a verse that we often talk about with prayer, and it talks about us being able to boldly approach that throne. And in relationship to God's will, God wants us to do that. And in order to truly understand prayer, we have to understand that prayer, yes, sometimes we may approach it with a timid mindset, but it's something to be approached boldly. And when we know what the will of God is, and we are already obeying what the will of God is for us, that we've clearly seen in His Word, we can boldly approach. We can come to the Lord and we can say, "Lord, I want to seek your will in this. Lord, I want to know what it is that you have designed, what your instructions for me are. What it is that you want to guide me, what path it is you want me to walk." And we can boldly come and we can ask for that. But when we think about these things, many times we are timid in our prayer life because we know there are hindrances. Because we know maybe we have not been doing what God wants us to do. Maybe we are not in His will already. But as we continue to think about this, I want us to think about when we petition the Lord and we ask, that we're asking in a manner that is according to His will. And He says here that we can boldly approach, that we may obtain mercy, that we may obtain grace. These things that we need in our life. And if you will, go to 1 John, and in 1 John chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5, and this is a verse sometimes people take out of context. I remember when I was young and I began to hear about prayer and I began to hear about this concept of praying and God answering and God giving it according to what we ask. And I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be good. I was sitting there going, I was already calculating. I know exactly what I want. And when I was young, I was a young man, and I enjoy cars. I enjoy fast cars. I enjoy the cars that kind of that are visually appealing because I've got that design eye. And I remember on my wall I had a picture of the Lamborghini Countach. How many remember that car? I looked at that car and I was a lustful little child. And I thought that was the best car in the world. Until they came out with the Lamborghini Diablo, which was a horrible name. But again, better design. And I thought, oh, and you know, but it was lust. And I thought, well, Lord, if I ask for that, then I'm going to get it. That wasn't God's will for my life. Thank God, it was not God's will for my life. But what we find here in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." And on the surface, we're like, oh, wow. But there's a key to this. There's a key when we look at this petition of faith that it says that very specifically, if we ask anything according to, not mine. And when we begin to realize this, we begin to realize and come to this, if you will, arrive to this concept and arrive to this promise concerning prayer, that we see that if we're asking it according to his will, that is what he will answer. And part of the problem of why when we look at our prayer life and we say, well, God, you're not answering my prayer. You're either telling me no or you're not hearing me. So we repeatedly ask for it and we ask for it and ask for it and we go, why? I remember when I was younger, I remember hearing the story about the missionary named Amy Carmichael to the nation of India. How many of you remember Amy Carmichael? Amy Carmichael has got a great testimony. She lived a life essentially alone. She never got married, as far as I'm aware of. But she lived her life wholly devoted to the Lord. Wholly devoted to rescuing children that were in horrible situations that we would say today they were trafficked. And she saw them, and she had a love for them, and she knew they needed Jesus Christ, and she put her life to the hazard to do that, to give these children the gospel of Jesus Christ. When nobody would love them, she did. But she was young. She recounted the story how she prayed to the Lord, "Lord, I want blue eyes. I'm not content with my brown eyes." And she would sit there and she would pray 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 and she would pray. Lord, change my eye color. Change my eye color. Change my eye color. But the Lord said no. And it wasn't until she realized the call to the mission field of India that if she had blue eyes, she would not have been able to do what she did. She would disguise herself and she would soak her skin in tea and coffee to darken it so that she would be thought of as another Indian person and she could blend in with the crowd. But if she had blue eyes, she would have been picked out. Somebody would have saw and said, that's not right. Lord didn't answer because it was not according to his will. His will for her life was not yet revealed. But she submitted her life to the Lord, saying, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. And when she did that, it was evident of what the will was and why that was not answered. And we notice this condition that we see in this passage is according to his will. And this gives us an enormous truth that we can begin to wrap our minds around. And we realize that our faith in our prayer is not in confidence that God will do whatever I ask, but the faith is in confidence that God will do what is right according to his will. And this is where we have to come to this concept in our prayer life. I mean, if we are honest with ourselves, we're going to realize that this is a very different thing between praying for our will and praying that the Lord would do that which is right according to His will, which He will do. And then that's what builds trust with Him. You know what's one of the greatest things that builds trust? The word no. Not the word yes. When we have a child that asks of something and we say no. And they ask why. And you say, well, not now. Or that's wrong. Or we can't do that. Whatever the legitimate reason is. That means the child has to trust that answer. They came expecting a yes, but that does not build trust. When God tells us no, it builds strength. It builds faith. It builds trust. 2 Corinthians 12, I petitioned the Lord three times, Paul says. And the Lord said no, every single time, and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, which goes back to the boldly approaching, which says that we may have that grace in our time of need. And it builds that trust in our Lord. It builds our trust in our Savior, in the God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Just like we build that trust with a child. What happens if you constantly tell the child yes? You spoil the child. Interesting choice of words. You ever had something in the fridge that's been in there just a wee bit too long? You open it up and you're like, whoo, that's spoiled. Same concept. But as we think about this and we continue to think about why these things happen and why we don't get sometimes the answer, it's because of the way that we do pray. Turn to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verse 3, we find that the problem is the selfishness of our prayer. You ever hear a parent, or maybe you are a parent, that has said this? Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. You have a big bowl of jelly beans. You can share some of those jelly beans. But our selfish little soul says, no, mine, right? You realize that everything in that book tells you don't be selfish? Everything from love to charity to how we live our Christian life, how we edify, how we encourage, how we do everything. Why? Because we have the selfless example of Jesus Christ. I mean, how many of us, if we knew, you know, let's say here you are, and you start coming to a concept of where you start realizing things at a young age, and let's say you get past the five-year-old, and you start growing up, and there you are in first grade, and you start talking about all these things, and the teacher asks, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? They always ask those questions. And sometimes they get really, really weird answers. It's always dangerous when you get that, especially in this day and age. But the teacher asks all these questions, and then they come to you and they say, oh, what do you want, little Johnny? No, I'm sorry, not that Johnny. But, you know, what do you want? And then all of a sudden, before the Johnny can even answer, they say, oh, no, I know what you're going to do. You're going to die. Well, little Johnny's like, what? Excuse me, hold on a second. I have a question. No, your purpose is to die. Your purpose is to die for someone else. Don't focus too much on living this life because your purpose is to die. You realize that Jesus Christ came and did that? That He knew that was His purpose? Could you imagine from a young age knowing that was your purpose? And understanding it? You'd have to live a pretty selfless life. But the problem is that we are often selfish. And once we realize that we can't save ourselves and we come to the Lord for salvation and we pray and say, Lord, I cannot do this. Lord, I'm going to accept what you've done for me on the cross. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to trust your resurrection and the eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, all of these things that the gifts that you give. Lord, I believe that. I trust it. And we're saved by the grace of God. And then next thing you know is we go back to that selfish self. James points this out. And he points it out in verse 3. He says, ye ask, and you receive not. And why is that? Because you ask amiss. You don't ask correctly. And it's not the exact words. It's not you have to ask in the legal sense. Therefore, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do declare that I doth desire such... No. I'm not talking about that. We're asking amiss because we ask for the wrong reason. You know, God's concerned with the motive of your heart. Our works as believers are going to be judged, not for our salvation, but they are going to be judged based upon why we did what we did. Not necessarily the quantity, but the why behind it. I know there's a lot of people out there that do things for the wrong reason. Some people go out there and they soul win just so that they can keep track, so that they can boast about it. I won 365 people to the Lord, one for every day of the year. Well, amen. Quit boasting about it. You don't need to broadcast it. Just praise God that somebody got saved. But it's our pride that creeps in. It's the flesh, and if you will, sometimes our soul that creeps in and says, hey, I want recognition. You realize that's all we really want? We're selfish little things. We just want attention. You ever have a dog that wants attention? There's the dogs that are aloof, and they're fine. If you ever get one of those Basenjis or Basenjis, however you pronounce it, they're the most aloof dogs in the breeds that are out there. You know, they're like cats. They really don't even care you exist, except to feed them. But then there's the dog that's like has to have the attention. They come in and tackle you at the door. You sit down and they're there. You open a bag of food, they're there. You do anything, they're there. And that's all we want, is we want attention. But we ask you these things because that's what we want in our life. And he says, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. And here's the problem. We ask these things, why? Because, and again, the uncomfortableness of this explanation of why we have so many unanswered prayers is because we're desiring it upon our own lust. That we have not asked God, is this your will? Look, the problem is not that that we're not praying. He says, you do ask. And some people say, oh yeah, I pray. But sometimes it's just a matter of volume, and we're hoping that something might get through. It's the quantitative versus the qualitative, quantity versus quality. What is it based off of? And sometimes we're praying very faithfully, but we're praying faithfully for the wrong thing. Young people can get trapped up in that. They can sit there and pray for a spouse. They find somebody, catches their eyes. They look at them and they go, hey. They look back at you and they go, hey. And then pretty soon you're like, oh, hey. You know, and then you're wondering and you're like, oh, Lord, I'm going to... Before you start going that direction, pray that the Lord will be in your life. What if the will of the Lord is that you not get married? You're like, would he do that? I don't know. Has he? Yes. You never know. But what we need to be praying is, Lord, if it be your will. You know, when I was younger, I was like, you know, that whole dating scene. I honestly would rather be shot at than do dating, is how I viewed things. And I told the Lord, I said, I just don't want to do this. And I said, Lord, if you want to have me be married, you are going to have to provide her. I'm kind of not wanting to do this. But Lord, if you want me to be married, I am content with whatever your will is. And I was just content to have a relationship with God, and that was it. And you know what? The Lord did answer the prayer, and he gave me a wonderful wife. But the prayer had to be, Lord, I'm content with you first. I'm content with you first. But sometimes we want to do it because we want to consume it upon our lust. And the prayer can be, God bless my plans. God bless what I've come up with. You ever have the child that comes up to you with a craft? And they hand it to you and you go, oh, what? This is a great, and you're trying to lead, and they look at you and they go, oh, it's a can opener. Oh, it's that can opener. You look at it and go, I often wonder when we go, Lord, here's my plan. And he goes, bless your heart. But many times our prayer becomes, God bless my plans, which is consuming upon our lust. When really the biblical prayer is, God, accomplish your purposes in my life. What it is you want for me. And it takes us back to that very first lesson of why we pray in the first place. Prayer is not fundamentally getting God to cooperate with my plan, with my agenda, with my ideas. That's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is that communion with God whose agenda is infinitely far wiser than mine ever will be. And that is what I seek. That is what I desire. That is what my heart needs to be, if you will, longing for. But we often lust for the things that we want, our own agenda. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, and I had referenced this, and it is important to see this in chapter 12. And we see an example of what happens when God says no. We see an example in our life of when God says no, and when God gives to us these things that are not exactly what we desired. It may not be what we were seeking, but it's still the answer to God's prayer. I mean, look at this passage. And in this passage, he says in verse 7, and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Now, what does that mean? That means that Paul was given a lot. He was given a lot of knowledge. And you know what happens to a lot of people that get a lot of knowledge? Next thing you know is they think they're God's gift to theologians. And all of a sudden, they've got this intellectual ascent, and they think they're better than every other Christian, and they know more than every other Christian that's out there. You ought not have that idea. Because you don't know what the other person knows. Well, I know they're not mature. That didn't sound very mature. Well, I know that they have not grown in Christ yet. Okay, maybe your purpose is to help them grow in Christ, not berate them, not lord your knowledge over them, but to gently teach and to show them the things of God. That might be the design that is in our life. But here he's saying, look, I got something, you know, Paul realizes, I got something in my life that's going to creep up, and it's called my pride. Unless that should creep up, there was given me, he says here, a thorn in the flesh. the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we've talked about this. It doesn't matter what the thorn is. Doesn't matter if it was a person. Doesn't matter if it was a physical ailment. Doesn't matter if it was, you know, something that was going on in his past. Again, like I've said, he had a lot that went on that he killed people, and you just don't get that out of your mind. It just doesn't go away. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter, because we could fill in anything here for us too, right? I'm sure we all have a thorn in the flesh. And if you're thinking it's a person, back off that for a moment. More than likely, it's something in us. More than likely, it's something in us. And he says, for this thing, I thought the Lord, besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And here's Paul saying, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And everybody's like, yeah, ah, really? How many of us take glories in our infirmities? When we wake up and we can't do what we used to do, you roll out of bed and something snaps and you're like, Lord, I want to glory in this for a moment. As I catch my breath, as I contemplate what my next actions are of dialing 911 or calling a friend or just sitting here in the bed for a little bit waiting till the pain passes. Lord, I'm just going to give you glory, honor, and praise for this right now. That's a hard thing to do, amen? You're going through a difficult time in your life. You got family drama that comes up, and what do? You go, Lord, I'm going to give you glory for this. I don't know how. But what we begin to realize is that the Lord gave him something that he needed in his life, something that was very critical in his life, that the Lord knew that Paul needed. And even before the prayer was asked, what happened? The Lord gave him the answer. You're asking for not this. I'm going to give you this to humble you. That's not what we really want sometimes. Because it does make us uncomfortable. Because it causes us to be a little distressed. Here he is praying three times. Paul prayed very specifically. Paul prayed repeatedly. And Paul prayed genuinely in faith. You got the Pentecostal crowd that goes out there and says, well, if you pray in faith, God will give it to you. If you pray in faith, God will heal you. And, you know, lay your hands on somebody and you'll be able to raise the dead and pray. Yeah, no. There's a problem with those things. Paul was genuinely praying in faith. And God repeatedly told him, no. And told him the why. Paul, I need you to be weak so that you can show believers that I'm strong. Paul, people are going to look up to you. I need you to be humble so that you're pointing to Christ. And there was the answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. Going back to the grace that we need in the time of need. And Paul's response was most gladly, therefore, I will glory. Not only is he glorying, but he's doing it. What's the descriptor there? Gladly. How many times have we seen gladly, when we're going through difficult times? Sometimes it's the pained look. You know, that grimacing smile. Loving every minute of it. This is so much fun. Not really. You know, that requires a change in heart. It requires a change in how we think about things. And remember, gladness is tied to an emotion, right? What is it tied to? Sorrow? It's tied to the emotion of happiness. And we're like, wait a second. You mean I can be happy when I'm going through it? That doesn't seem, yeah? Well, what does the Bible say? Happy are the people whose God is who? The Lord. Those are happy people. You want to be happy in your life? Get closer to Jesus Christ. You don't need a drug. You don't really need therapy. You need Jesus. And we look at this and we begin to realize that this is praying according to God's will in action. He prays, Lord, remove this. And God, you know, if you will, change from God remove this to, Lord, while this remains, give me the grace to glorify you through it. I mean, a lot of times we just give that prayer of, Lord, take this out of my life. I mean, sometimes we do that, right? I mean, we go through something and the Lord, we're like, Lord, get rid of this, please. I know you can. Please remove it. And sometimes it's like we're dealing with somebody and we're like, Lord, change their heart. Maybe the whole idea behind it isn't a matter of changing the other person's heart. Maybe it's a matter of changing our hearts so that we will look at it and say, Lord, I want to give you glory with this. Lord, give me more grace in my life that I may give you glory through all of it. And not necessarily remove it from my life. You're like, wait, but I don't want it there. But maybe God does. And this is where the uncomfortableness comes. And we're like, but doesn't the Lord want me to be happy? He wants you to be happy in Him. He wants you to be happy with Him. He wants you to be happy, content, and giving thanks and giving praise, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. But He wants all of that rather than sitting there saying, Lord, remove it. But be happy with what God's doing with it. Even if it's not the most beautiful thing for you. The Lord shows here that Paul's prayer changed. Lord, give me the grace to glorify you through this. And this is probably one of the most important lessons that we can understand about prayer. And it changes our prayer life. Where instead of praying for those things, that when we start praying according to God's will, we start saying, Lord, I want you to change me. Don't change my circumstances. Don't change my environment. Don't change other people. Lord, work that change in my life. How many times have we been in a problem and we think the other person's the problem, and then the Lord just kind of gives us a little nudge and goes, you're it. And we don't like that. What do? We do that little, I'm not the problem. And the Lord's going, uh-huh. We start getting into the debate. I am not, am too, am not, am too, am not, am too. And what happens is we begin to realize that, hey, maybe the change is not those things that we think that need to be changed. Maybe it's we do need to pray, Lord, I need grace in my life for you to show me what I need to change about me. And that becomes the important part of the prayer. And I get it, when we start praying these things and we start praying according to God's will, we come to this part of where we were talking about even this morning with dispensations. We're talking about mystery, and sometimes there's a mystery of God's will. I mean, we understand the revealed word, but there's sometimes some things that are not necessarily revealed to us about how we're going to get through it, what it's going to look like on the other side. I mean, you think about the disciples in the boat. A couple of times. They were thinking they were going to die. They were going to drown. And they prayed to the Lord, "Don't you care? Lord, save us." And they had no idea what that was going to look like. And in one, he causes everything to be still. And then in the next moment, they're on the shore. How did we get here? We were over there. We're here now. John, be quiet. But nope. We're not going to get it. Let's just roll with it. Let's just go. But that's where it comes to the part of where we trust in the Lord when we can't see what's ahead. And that's why we come boldly to the throne seeking His mercy and His grace in our lives to trust what lies ahead in His plan, in His purpose. And there's going to be times where Scripture does not give us that exact specific thing that is in our life that God wants us to do, and He's going to reveal those things to us according to His Word, according to His Holy Spirit. And there's times that we may be praying for healing. We may be praying for a job situation, employment, a relationship, a difficult decision that we're faced with. There may be a situation where we have a child that has gone astray and we're praying for them. It may be a financial situation that we're going through. It may be relief from suffering in our own life, a pain, a legitimate infirmity that's there. And we can legitimately ask, and we do many times, but we have to leave that outcome to God. Even if we don't like the answer. Turn to the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3. And praise the Lord shows us exactly how our mindset needs to be. How our heart needs to be fixed and focused on these things that are from Him. And in Proverbs chapter 3, it says here in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We see very clearly here what He does is He gives us this proper posture that we're supposed to have according to God's Word. And it says that we don't have to know the entirety of the path to trust the one who does. Did you ever think about that? How many of us had plans that did not come to fruition with our life? I'll take by the chuckling and the silence that there's a good amount of us that said, yeah, life threw a few curveballs. Life did not really go along with my plans. Well, it's the Lord saying, that's not the plan I have for you. That's not the path. But I want to go on that path, Lord. And the Lord says, no, I want you on this path. I want you on this path. And we begin to realize there that this is what we have to do. We have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Now look at the first part of that verse. Look at the first phrase of that verse. And this is one of the most important, critical things about believers today. What we need to understand. Trust in the Lord with what? What does that word mean? All thine heart. The problem is, and many times when we pray according to God's will, we miss that part. And we're not fully surrendered and submitted to Him and His will. And there's still something there that wants to consume it upon our own lusts, our own desires, our own plans, our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own agenda, whatever it may be, that may still be there. But when we begin to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with everything, and I'm not going to lean on what I think this situation is. You know, a lot of times we get these ideas about what we think the situation is. All of a sudden we can start judging people's hearts, and we can start discerning it. No. We're leaning on our own understanding. And God says, I don't want you doing that. I want you leaning on me. I want you to trust me. Because when I do that, and in all my ways, what's going to happen? He is going to direct my path. He's going to tell me where to go. He's going to tell me this is what I'm doing now. He's going to lead me into those things. He's going to say, this is who I want you to marry. This is how I want you to serve. This is where I want you to be. This is how I want you to handle this situation. This is, and he's going to do that in our life. But a lot of times people don't trust that process. Because they're like, I don't think God's going to do that. I will testify to you here, right here, and right now. He does. He does. I'm not a deist. I believe that this is true. Why? Because the ultimate purpose is God's glory. Turn to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We start thinking about this, start thinking about praying according to God's will, seeking His glory, giving us grace to glorify Him and all of it. And what do we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Right there in black and white. You know what that includes? It includes your prayer life. Our prayer needs to be glorifying to Him. And the only way we can do that is to pray according to His will. Thy will be done. Romans 11:36 matches up with the same thing. It says, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And it's not our glory. And many times that's what we're praying for. What glorifies us? What helps us? What makes us look good? What makes us look like we've got it together? How many of you have got it all together right now? You've got it all together. You've got all the parts. All the parts are moving perfectly, exactly the way you designed everything. You've got it all together. You're in full control. How many of you feel like you're on a roller coaster and it feels like you're about ready to fly off? Got to trust the builder. Got to trust Him. Ultimately, praying according to God's will means that God's glory becomes the most important thing to me than my desired answer. That God's glory becomes more important in my prayer life than the answer that I want. That's praying according to God's will. As we think about this and compare it to what we've already learned, I want us to again think about this. We start praying according to God's will. We ask this. What has God already said to us? What has God already said to us? We already know that He's revealed His will, and there's more than the brief references that I've given throughout Scripture. There's more that are there. But again, we need to say, Lord, okay, what is it You've already said? Bring it to my mind. Show me from Your word. Because it's hard to pray for God's will when we don't even know what it is. What has God already said? We have to look at our motives and we have to ask, what is it that I desire? We have to be very honest in our petitions to God, right? We have to be very honest and say, Lord, is that selfish? And the Lord will probably tell us and go, yeah. Yeah, it is. You're like, really? Yeah. Don't you see? And you're like, huh. Yeah, I guess it is. No, it is. I don't know if you have those conversations. I do. But, you know, it's the honest petition. We have to be honest in it. Lord, remove me from this. Lord, change my life in this. Lord, don't change the circumstances or anything that's going on. Lord, change me. Am I willing for God to say no if I ask? And many times when it is no, He's saying, I want you to trust. I want you to rely on me. I want you to rely on my grace. I want you to rely on my mercy. I want you to rely on those things and hold tight to those things while you go through this. Because in the end, you're going to see it and you're going to see my will and you're going to see my glory. He's going to show all of those things to us. Amen? You know what that's called? Submission. Submission. Paul had to learn how to submit. Before he could preach submission, he had to learn submission. Will I trust him regardless of the answer? You know what that builds? Faith. Builds faith. How many of us could use a lot more faith? How many of us think our faith is sufficient? How many are like the Father that says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief? It builds that faith. And it gives us a very, very, very practical definition that I talked about last week. To pray according to God's will is to bring our desires honestly before God while willingly submitting those desires to His revealed word, to His wisdom, and to His sovereign purpose. God's not a vending machine. We think about this. We've talked about why we pray. We've talked about the hindrances to prayer, and we've seen a little bit of it in here about the why things don't get answered. But now here we are talking about praying and concluding about praying about God's will. And it shows us that we come to the Lord and understanding the fellowship that's there, the communion with Him, the desire of Him for us to talk with Him and to speak with Him. And we look at those things that can cause that to be out of alignment in our lives, in our walk with Him. And then it shows us how to bring that heart into alignment. You know, your car has to have an alignment. You ever have one of those cars where you're holding the steering wheel like this and the car's still drifting to the right? What do you need? Well, either you need a new car or you need an alignment. And why is that? So that where you're looking and where you're steering, the wheels are facing so you're going that same direction. And that's what our heart needs to be. Our heart needs to be in alignment with the will of God, and it needs to be submitted to the will of God and His turning and His direction and His guidance and what He wants in our life. And we need to be willing to submit to that and say, Lord, I'm willing to do Your will, even if I don't want to go there. Even if that's not comfortable for me. Even if that means that something needs to change. And when God reveals those hindrances in our lives, that's where He's saying, you need to bring this in alignment to my will, to the will of our Father. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You so much again for the time that You've given to us. And Lord, I thank You again for these truths that You've shown us about prayer, what this means in our life. And Lord, how we need to be in alignment with You. Lord, how we need to be praying according to Your will. But Lord, understanding why it is that we do that, who You are. And Lord, I pray that as we think on these things and Lord, willingly, prayerfully, next week, Lord, learn about praying with thanksgiving and praise. That we'd realize that this is what you desire of us. Lord, help our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grow, to submit to that concept, Lord, of desiring your glory more than whatever answer we think. Lord, change our hearts. Work in us. Show us where we're not according to your will, where we're not trusting you with all of our heart. And Lord, again, I thank you for this time. Pray, Lord, you just continue to meet with us as we close with this hymn. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.